We thank God again for being here to bring to you this holy, whole truth radio broadcast. We are thanking God that He spared our lives to be here to give you the Word of God, and in hopes that you would obey, because we're giving you what God said, and we want you then to be able to obey what God said. This is Bishop Patterson from the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the church that is called by the name of God, and this is the church of His faith, the apostles' faith, or the apostolic faith, the faith that the apostles believed, they preached, and practiced as well, so that men would see an example that they left, and therefore will have something to follow God. Now, again, this broadcast is from the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many that use the name, but don't have the gospel. Many times we go around many places and we see the name on the building, but when you go in, the gospel or the preaching that is believed by that church is not in the building. But we thank God that what has started on the day of Pentecost has continued now with us, so that there would be no end to the government of God. Since He opened it up in this evening time, we have continued it as the same thing that was preached by Peter. And thank God when Peter brought it to the Gentile family, God gave us an apostle of our own. He gave us Paul, thank God. And we have continued what He has done for the Gentile family, which is now this day for the Gentile. We have continued it until this very hour. Again, I am here to hopefully encourage your heart and change your mind from following after darkness and bring you into the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and to bring you into the power of the resurrected Christ. So when you hear me make the distinction and I say Christ Jesus versus Jesus Christ, you will understand my knowledge that it was a reason the man of God wrote about the resurrection of Christ, because in that he's talking about what now is going to happen to you as happened to Christ Jesus our Lord. So I'm so glad to be here again today and to be able to still testify to you after all of these years that God has kept us in His gospel, and we have been delivering it day after day and moment after moment, that there will be no excuse when you see God. And I just thankful that God has given me His precious word, which is who He is, that He has put it upon our tongue and put it in our heart and our mind to make sure that we give you the truth of the gospel. If you want to know what thus says the Lord, He said His priest's lips will keep the knowledge. And I thank God today I have with me the testimony of saints. I carry, just like I wear my clothes, I carry the testimony of saints. So when I give you the testimony of them that have come before, I can go in the book and read the testimony of all of them that come to tell you what God will do. And I have the testimonies of what God is doing right now. And as I have the testimony of saints, I also have the knowledge of them that are on their way to a fiery furnace and won't have God in there with them to deliver them, but the fire will cause them some hurt. So I have the knowledge of all of them that are going to be lost. And that's an awful thing to have in your mind, seeing that someone is going to go the way of the flames and they won't listen to you, and won't then take the testimony of Jesus, which is to worship God. This is the testimony of all saints, that they worship God. So when the Lord sends an angel down from heaven for all tongue and for all men, He's telling you to worship God. And that's what I tell saints, that if they're going to do anything, for me, just pray for me. But I want them to fear God and give all the glory to him. I want them to know that the hour of his judgment is here, that all saints know that the judgment of God is now starting at the church. And they have to worship him, as John said, the one that made the heavens and the earth. You need to honor him. And I thank God always for his power that he's put on our tongues to give you these words. I thank God for all of my travels throughout this world to bring the gospel of peace to men, because when Christ Jesus came and Jesus came upon the earth, he took peace from the earth. And the only place you're going to find it now is in this gospel. And I'm here to give it to you if you want it. In my travels, I've come across more of my Jehovah Witnesses that I love when they knock on my door. It gives me an opportunity to sharpen my teeth, as to say. And when I was in Dallas, the ones in Jacksonville don't knock on my door anymore. I guess they put a sign on my door not to knock on that man's door. But they knocked on my door while I was in Dallas. And I thank God when they came in, they were asking me about do I fear God and the gospel or whatever. And I told them, of course, I fear what is written. And they began to talk about Jehovah and Jesus. And I just began to stop them and tell them, may I hold your book? And I took them to Revelation 1 and 8. And I asked them, was that Jehovah talking or was that Jesus talking? And when they read Revelation 1:8 and 1:18, they said, it sounds like it's Jesus talking, but when it says the Almighty, that is Jehovah. And I say, well, if you look at it, it is Jesus, but he is the Almighty. That is the Almighty God. He said, I am he that was and was dead and now alive forevermore. And they said, but Jehovah was never dead. Yes, Jehovah was Jesus. He laid down a life. And he picked up a life, the eternal life, which he always was. But he had to die on the cross for all of the sins of men, shed the blood for Adam to redeem us back to that estate that we lost in the Garden of Eden. But I thank God Almighty that we have this knowledge that God put on a body. And he said, to wit, he then reconciled us to himself. And when the lady was looking at it, she said, that doesn't sound plausible that they are the same. And you ask them, how many gods is it? And they say it's not but one. But Jehovah is a big God and Jesus is a little God. I say, well, that's a big and a little. That sounds like two to me. But she said, no, 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 it's only one. So it's only one. What is the name of this God? And they'll tell me that. In Matthew 28:19, he said, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. She said, those are titles. I say, I agree with you wholeheartedly that those are titles. But when I took her to Acts 2:38, I said, here the Apostle Peter substituted those three titles for one name. And when you look at his words, he then knew that the Father that created all things, the Son that was in redemption, and the Holy Ghost that came, the Spirit of God that came for the church, they were all one. And when she saw that the name he used for the Father was Jesus, she then got kind of puzzled. And she said, you know, your mind is like a rocket scientist. You're just very brilliant in this. But she said, is there anybody else in the world that thinks like you? And I said, of course, all saints think like me. All the apostles and pastors and teachers, they all think like me. We all speak the same thing. But it was amazing to her to see such a thing. And I told her for almost 20 years or more, when Jehovah Witnesses knock on my door, I give them these scriptures. I show them where God said he was the rock and Jesus said he was the rock. And everything that God or Jehovah said he was, Jesus said he was the same. So I was trying to show her that, And I sent her all of the scriptures through the scriptures to prove that they were one. And I got a letter from her the other day, and the letter didn't deal with what I sent to her. It dealt with something else. But I intend on going back to Dallas. And when they invited me to their congregation meeting, of course, I was there. And it was a strange way to meet. That's why I thank God for the holy way that we worship God. And you speak on God as the scripture has said, not as men have said, but you speak as the oracles of God. And I'm so grateful to God that when you show them, you pray that they then come to the light. And that is why I'm here today preaching this to you, hopefully that you will come to the light of the gospel of the word and say, I believe as the man of God is preaching, then you will give me something that I can have and say, I carry then your testimony of Jesus, that it is to worship God. I carry that with me everywhere I go. When people ask me about my ministry, I then pull out of me those bones that I carry that I'm prophesying to. I pull out all of those testimonies that Jesus has given me for the perfecting of saints. I pull those testimonies from my heart. I pull them from my mind. And I speak on those things just like you do when you go to the scriptures and you find things that God has done for someone in the scriptures. You are then pulling from those testimonies of Jesus or before he came in the body. You get then the record of them that believed him on, as the scripture have said, all when you get to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when you pull those testimonies of God, then you are speaking as God has already done and manifested himself in the world. But when he put on a body and you see the woman with the issue of blood and you see Lazarus and all of these other things that you talk about, you're then pulling on then these testimonies of Jesus. And that was to worship God. When people believed on him, as the scripture said, as he walked and talked and ate and dealt with them that were in that day, we speak on those things as those testimonies. But now, thank God, we speak as the Apostle Paul spoke, that we were out of the season for that time. But we know nevertheless, rather, we have, though, this testimony of Christ, that we are to the resurrection of life everlasting, that if he can resurrect Lazarus, or he that raised up Jesus will also raise us up, we then began to testify of Christ Jesus our Lord to the resurrection of life everlasting. We're so grateful that God left this resurrecting power. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you receive then the power of God, that is to the resurrection of life. So grateful. I saw my aunt yesterday, and my heart was very, very happy when I saw my aunt Faye Carroll yesterday, and I told her I would do a shout out, as they say, to her. She said, I listened to your broadcast, and she has told me that for many, many years, and I thank God she takes the time to hear the gospel that her nephew is preaching throughout the world. She has it locally here in Jacksonville when I am here, that I was able to see her and embrace her. And I remember many years ago when she told her other sister, they were having a conversation about the baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. And they came and received the water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. And I thank God that this gospel is still going out, that the entrance into the kingdom of God, I am still preaching and I'm ministering to everyone around the world. I thank God that the broadcast is going from nation to nation and kingdom to kingdom and people to people. There are many states now, all I think but one or two states, where the broadcast is not going and people are not hearing my voice around the world. Many countries are now getting the broadcast, all but a few. And I thank God that men are reaching out to find this gospel that we're preaching. And I thank God because, as God said, that the angel, my God, will open his mouth from heaven, and then he will speak this wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ for all people, for all tongues. And as my aunt said, this gospel is for them. And she went down in water in the precious name of Jesus Christ. And to get in God's kingdom and to inherit that kingdom, you must not only be baptized in his name for the remission, but you must also be baptized with the Holy Ghost. And once you receive the Holy Ghost, you receive then the power. The power is not the Holy Ghost. The power is to the resurrection of life everlasting. The power is God. It is that thing that quickens you no matter how many years you lay in a box. I'm going to prophesy to your bones now while your bones are wet. I'm going to prophesy to them because one day they're going to be dry. And the words that I've already preached, though they are dry, they will get up because God is going to speak to the wind, and the wind will then get into that bone and get into you and make you live again. And these are the testimonies that I carry with me, them that are in my company. I carry the testimony of Jesus, them that are suffering for his name's sake. I carry them with me. I'm so thankful to God that we have witnesses still in the church that will say, I have this testimony of Jesus, that whatever the Lord put upon me to bear, I will bear it gladly. You know, a lot of people run to the physician to see what the physician can do, but there are some that run to Christ and know that Christ is a healer because I bear with me the gifts of God. I come bearing the gifts of God. If you want peace, love, joy, long-suffering, all these gifts of God I carry with me because these are the testimonies of Jesus, and that is to worship God. So grateful that the sister in Connecticut is testifying of God's goodness, that she bare in her mortal body the power of God's healing virtue, that the physician said that she had to get a blood transfusion, and she said, not so. I believe God, because she remembered not only the woman with the issue of blood in the scriptures, but she remembered another woman, that testimony that I bear because she is in my basket, that the physicians want to do something for her. And she said, not so. And she called me and asked, oh, thou man of God. And that testimony I carry, that the Lord delivered her and put back what was lost. And she to this day still worship God and give God the glory for the thing that he has done. It is this testimony of Jesus that I carry, that them that lose all, that I pray and ask God to restore. And this thing I carry with me, that when your body is sick, that you look to God to heal. And even if he don't, you said, I will still worship God. I will still trust in God. I will carry this to my grave because I know that if the man of God will speak to my bones shall live again. You have to understand when you hear this broadcast, I am ministering to you the entrance into God's kingdom to tell you what you ought to do to be saved. To be saved, it is a prerequisite that you be baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ. How many times do I tell you? If someone puts you in the water and say, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and don't call the name, then you're not baptized. You are not baptized in his name. The name that Peter said, the name that Paul said, was the name of Jesus. And we say Jesus to Christ to separate him from Bar Jesus or Jesus Justice or any other Jesus. Or we say Lord Jesus, Jesus Christ, or Jesus Christ as Peter did on the day of Pentecost, or in Acts 19:5 when they said, baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So the thing is, you must have the baptism in his name. There's no need to go to water, and there is no soap to wash away the dirt or the grit. There's no need of getting in the tub if you're just going to rinse off and it's not going to clean. You want to take some bleach. You want to take some soap. So you want to probably need then to take the name of Jesus. If you want to get all the dirt and grime and soot and all that off of you, it's best to take some kind of detergent or some kind of something that's going to get it off of you. Because the name of God is Jesus Christ, our Lord. And when you then take someone into the water, he said, whatsoever you do, in word or in deed, do all in that name. Your baptism is a deed that must be done in his name. This was the instructions in Matthew 28:19 when he talked to the apostles, when he was building them up in his word. He said, now you go therefore and you baptize all nations, everybody, whoever you are. Don't matter what your color, your national origin, your creed, doesn't really matter. He said, all nations, baptizing them in the name. And that name then must be used. And if someone then just quote what he said and don't do it, then you're not baptized. And then this entrance into the kingdom, you are outside of it. And I'm coming to you with a testimony of Jesus and all of his work and the testimony that the apostles did, that everyone that was baptized, that you can go to the jailer, to the ones at Ephesus, the Pentecost, Cornelius' house, it doesn't matter where you go, they were all baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus or Jesus Christ. They were baptized in the name, is my point. And if they weren't baptized in the name, as they came across Aquila and Priscilla, they said, well, we haven't heard so much about a Holy Ghost. So they then knew that they were not baptized in the name, because had they been baptized in the name, they would have been given this promise of the Holy Ghost. So then they ask, how then were you baptized? They say they were baptized into John's baptism. And then they were then baptized in the name of Jesus. So, as I told my aunt and her sisters, you must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And they came and got the water baptism correctly. The second part of the ministry is to get you into the kingdom by getting the power of God, which is the Holy Ghost. In terms of the power of the resurrection, I mean, the Holy Ghost is what it's called. It's the Spirit. He said, power shall come upon you when you receive the Holy Ghost. And this power then is the resurrection to life everlasting. So when you go to your grave, the power of God is there with you. So when your bones go from wet as they are now, and they dry out, don't worry, I've already done the job. I've already spoke to them. I've already prophesied to them. Now, you know, when you prophesy to something, you're not talking about this current moment. You talk about something that shall be. And I'm doing it now to let you know it shall be. And if you believe my words and you want to live again, my job is to then prophesy to your bones, as the man of God Ezekiel was told to do. And my job then is to prophesy to you and tell you what shall happen to those bones. It's amazing, as Job said, how bones are made in the womb of a woman and they don't go anywhere. Everything else that comes out of that womb goes back to the dust. But those bones will lie there for years. After year, after year, millions, as they say in the world, thousands, as they say in the world, you can dig them up and the bones are still there. And that is the thing that is going to stand as an army for God, them that believe God's words, and he's going to put new signia on it. He's going to put the new flesh on it, and he's going to breathe on them once again, and you shall live again. You cannot do that if you are not born again of the water in the name of Jesus Christ, and you cannot do that if you are not filled with the Holy Ghost, which is the power of God, in that it gives you the power to the resurrection. It lets you know that your name is written in the book, that the seals are open, and you can look in and eat of it and say, I'm written by faith. I know I'm in it because John saw me. You will then get a different speech from the worldly speech. You will get a heavenly speech, and you will get a heavenly knowledge. And that is the job of the preacher, is to bring you the words of truth. And today I want to bring those words to you because I want you to know that as I can speak and tell someone that Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus Christ of the New, that you will believe my words. And I can prove by your own book that one of the men said when I showed him Revelation 1:8, the Jehovah's Witnesses, he said, well, that's a misprint. Well, you had it misprinted all these years, and it took me to show you had a misprint in your book. So wonder what they're going to go back and change it to. It is quite clear that when you read Revelation 1:8, and he said, I am Alpha and I am Omega, the beginning and the ending, says the Lord. We now know that there is but one Lord, and that Lord is Jesus Christ. Even Jehovah said, know ye that the Lord, he is God, when you go to Psalms 103. He said, which saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. There's no way you're going to get away from when he was and when he was in flesh and blood and a body, and he got rid of the body, and he's now alive forevermore. And when you read the 18th verse, the same Lord is speaking, and he said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And when you look at the same Lord talking, he shows you that he was always Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. There's no ending and beginning to God. He always was. But he's showing you when he took on flesh and blood and he got rid of it, he still was God. And it makes no matter to me whether you believe me or not, but I advise you to believe what the word said, because the Lord said, believe on me, as the scripture has said. And my knowledge comes from the scriptures of them that are going to lose. I don't carry you with me. I just have the knowledge about what's going to happen to you. I don't have anything in my heart or anything in my hands or anything in my basket that is going to be lost. I have an incident to tell you, to show you that what is with me will not be lost. As a man of God was on a ship, and the ship was shipwrecked, but he said not a hair on anyone's head that was with him would be lost. And that is the joy when you have the true man of God and he is in your company. It doesn't matter what happens to the ship get broken up. Don't worry. He said everything with him, not a hair on your head. Now, you know, that's some powerful talking about the apostles of Jesus Christ, that he can say not a hair on your head will be lost. And how many of you comb your hair during the day and hair just falls out naturally? And I believe him to the letter of the word that not one strand of anybody's hair that was with him was lost. So we carry with us the knowledge of them that are going to be lost, because what we're to do is to preach to you and turn you from darkness to light. But we carry with us all them that God intend to save. And I thank God that there are testimonies of Christ and testimonies of Jesus that I worship God, because the man of God has given me the truth. He's turned me from darkness. And sometimes my speech is hard. But I thank God that even though the speech is hard, there are some that do not harden their heart against what I'm asking them to do. The hardest thing for some people to do is to obey God when they think they have a blessing from God and do not want to give God what's his. As I was speaking to one of the ministers, he said, "Bishop, it's a hard thing when you don't pay your tithe and then the Lord say, add a fifth thereto." And he was having a discussion. He said, "Add a fifth of the tithe or add a fifth of what I have?" Well, it can't be from what already belonged to God. So he said, "Oh, my word." He said, "That means a third of what you have belong to God." It does. And in the discussion, he's saying, "My God, can you imagine someone getting hundreds of thousands of dollars?" And that's when the devil makes it difficult for someone to obey God. And men come and say, "Well, tithe was under the law." That's the biggest lie from hell. It didn't start there. But yes, it was under it. But they were saying it started with Moses. That's the part that I'm saying is the lie. It started with Abraham. Did not start with Moses. Tithe came through the law and remained in faith. That's why it's with you now. Because Abraham was in faith. And when you think about Paul even writing to the church at Rome, he began to tell his brothers that circumcision didn't do anything, and neither did uncircumcision, and neither did the law. Because he began to tell you that Abraham, being uncircumcised, was able to then get the promise. And that's what the gospel is doing now. Even though you're in your sin, I'm prophesying to you to come, and God will save you while you're yet in your sin. He will then give you this gospel to save yourself. So when you think it is difficult to do what God has asked you to do, I advise you to do what God said and then let him bless you, because he will do that. But that's the scariest part of folks' vision, is they only see what they have and don't see what God can do with the little that they have. They think they have a few dollars and they think they got a lot that's going to last them until Jesus comes. And the lot that they have, you can go through very quickly. And then you're back on asking God to bless you. You're back praying now because you need something from God. And you spent what God gave for you, and you spent what was God's. And the thing that belonged to him, why would you rob him? Well, why would you steal from God now? That's something else. Not only will you steal from men, you will steal from God. And that's awful. So as you talk, it is a good thing to understand that what does the scripture say? Whatever it says is what then the man of God should bring to you to give you life. Because what he's carrying is all of them that God is going to save. And when you get in the church, that man of God, that apostle of Jesus Christ came from God. Everybody else is put in the church such that should be saved, and the things to look over the church. God deals with apostles and he deals with prophets. The prophet gets the sight to tell the church what God is going to do. And then the man of God, the apostle of Jesus Christ, gets the gospel. And then he teaches the others what to do. If you are a pastor and you say God sent you, and you did not have the apostle to put you in place, you're not a pastor for Jesus. If you're saying you're an evangelist and you did not get there by an apostle of Jesus Christ, but you say God sent you, and the apostle of Jesus Christ didn't put you there, you're not sent by Jesus Christ our Lord. So these things come by the man of God laying hands and putting you in the positions, like when they wanted deacons. Everything you see in the word, the apostles did that work. You didn't hear nobody come and talk about, I got a revelation from God, unless it was the apostles of Jesus Christ or the prophets as they spoke. You didn't hear the elders and all that talking about, I had some calling from Jesus Christ and I heard his voice, unless he was an apostle of Jesus Christ being made a minister then to the people. He then said, I left you in Crete for a reason. He then said, find men that meet these qualifications, and then you ordain them to do the work. See, this foolishness that men then just start a church and say, oh, I heard the voice of God. You did? Then why aren't you an apostle of Jesus Christ? Why don't we know one another? These things are issues that I address everywhere I go when men want to know the truth of it, and they ask, I can be able to tell them, if you say you heard the voice of God, then you are saying either you're an apostle of Jesus Christ and you are a prophet. Those are the things that heaven sent to the church. The rest of the things God said he put in the church by to perfect the saints, but the man of God is the one that does that work. It was the apostles by God, that how Matthias got added to the church, because someone had to take the bishopric that Judas lost when he fell. It was prophesied that another would take the bishopric. So the church could not start on the day of Pentecost until God added Matthias, because he needed 12 of us. The foundation of the church is built on 12. And the men of God, the apostles of Jesus Christ, cast their lots so the Lord could show them by the lots falling who then would take the bishopric. Then you have the apostle Paul coming. He heard the voice of God, and God gave him the revelation of all of the gospel so he could then go preach. He could then find men to help him with the gospel. And all of these people coming now, I heard the voice of God, but they are afraid to say that they're apostles of Jesus Christ because they know that they're not doing that kind of work. And then they say there are no more apostles in the church. That's the dumbest thing that could ever be said by anybody. If there are no apostles, there's no church. Because God said, I put them in the church first. They're in the church first because they keep the church. If there's no apostles, there's no evangelists and teachers and pastors. How you get in? And I mean, you stay in, and the first thing God put in is all of a sudden gone. They say, well, you had to be at the resurrection. Well, Paul wasn't at the resurrection. So it's just silliness. But again, I carry with me these testimonies of Jesus that we're going to worship God. And if you are saying, well, why he keeps saying that? I'm saying that because I want you to understand my speech. Because when the angel got sent to fly in the midst of heaven, we have then the gospel to preach unto everyone that dwell in the earth, every nation and tongue and kindred, as the scripture says, and to every people. The man of God is saying with a loud voice, you need to fear God and give glory to him, as the scripture says, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made the heavens and the earth and the sea and the fountains of water. And that angel will then tell you what thou ought to do. So when I tell you, then I carry with me this testimony of Jesus to worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And this is my point to you. That's written, I believe, in the Revelations, the 19th chapter. And if you look at the 10th verse, you'll see my speech is this prophecy to you. And the man of God's job is to prophesy to you. Shall I live again if I obey the gospel? And I can tell God, thou knowest, Lord, are you giving them to me to prophesy to them? And when I say thou knowest, he say, then speak to them. And that speech is coming from, as you know, Ezekiel, when he had the vision from God of the dry bones. He began to prophesy to the dry bones, those bones that were wet at one time, and now they are dry because they were in the grave. But they went to the grave with this hope that they shall live again. And where I go into the scripture to help you with that is at the resurrection of God, Jesus Christ our Lord, the saints got out of their graves because their graves opened at the power of the Holy Ghost, at the power of the resurrection to life. They got up and they began to obey what was told to them that was in their body before they died. It was told to them to go to Jerusalem because something was going to break out there, and they were on their way there. But we thank God this thing did break out at Jerusalem to some bones that were wet, and though they are dead now, those dry bones shall live again. So I thank God for my trip to New York City to speak to the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. They've added behind the church King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We spoke with them on last first day. And also we had the opportunity to go to the Holy Temple, Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. They put something at the front of the name that says it all, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some add something to the back and some add stuff to the front. But however, we had an opportunity to carry my testimony to them that when they meet God, they will say, I have no excuse, Lord. I did hear him. He did testify to me that you came to him and you opened his mind and heart to carry your gospel. But I don't have their souls yet, but I'm gleaning for them. I'm praying to get as many souls as I can carry. And I can carry everything God gives me. And that I can go and get something to help me is when God pulled in the net of fish. The net did not break. He pulled all of them in. So whatever he put in my net, I can carry. And I'm fishing for you. And I went and gave my testimony to them. And some want to bring up the baptism. I said, we be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And they say, are you in the pool or out of the pool? I said, does it matter whether you're in the pool with the candidate or out of the pool with the candidate? And they are of they have the mind that you have to be in the pool or the person is not baptized. And I said, give me chapter and verse that you have to be in the pool. And of course, he gives me the knowledge of what was written in that day when they went to the water and they went out in the water. Well, the person can't go out there and baptize themselves. They were at a pool of water. But the burial requires someone put you in the water, yes. But when someone bury you in a grave, the undertaker doesn't get in the grave and bury himself with the person that is buried in the grave to make sure he's buried. He put him in a hole and cover him up with dirt. The baptism is like unto that, that the undertaker can stand on the side of the grave and make sure the soul is buried. So the enemy will give you something to fight about that has no value of salvation. Paul said, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know. It doesn't really matter as long as the spirit says that that soul is baptized and buried in water. That the soul of the saint who want to be buried is buried. So I thank God that we're going to move along. So whether in or out of the pool, as long as the soul is buried in water. And I'm able to tell you the Lord didn't send me to baptize, but we have someone to baptize you for the remission of sin. But my thought today is with you that what I'm carrying is what John said would be testimonies of Jesus, how he suffered and died and how he went to the water and got the entrance into his own kingdom because he was the son over his own house. And the Holy Ghost, of course, the tongue came from heaven, said, "This is my beloved son." So that ministry of the gospel was even taken on by him. And this is why I tell you, I'm preaching the entrance into the kingdom. Because once I get you in, I then give you the inheritance that your father left for you. And that is to live again. The gospel is to make you live again. So when I carry your bones with me, though they are wet now, and it's keeping the fires of hell away from you, when they dry out, it makes no difference. The fire still cannot get a hold to them. Because I was thinking on how Ezekiel even talked about when a tree is cut down, and while it's standing there, it does no work. But when it's burned, it is fuel. When you think about that, my God, you think about your soul, the devil can't take your dry bones and make fuel out of them and do a work for him to burn you up, because my gospel is going to hold you even in your grave. And if you attach yourself to me, that you let me put you in my net or in my basket, I'll carry you to God comes. And though your bones get dry, my gospel will still have you. And when the Lord said, "Come ye my blessed," you'll come up to meet him. And this is the thing I'm dying for, is to make sure your bones shall live again. The reason I carry the gospel and the reason I carry all of these testimonies of them that are in my company that come to me and say, "Oh, thou man of God, I am sick. Will you pray for me?" And I pray and the Lord heal them. And then them that the Lord don't heal, they still have this confidence that if they pray for me, anointing me with oil, if I have admitted or committed any sin, if I've committed any sin, the Lord will raise me up in that day. The elders have that are in my company, that they will pray for you. They will anoint you with oil. They'll pray the prayer of faith. These are the things that are in my company. I have life in my company. I have peace in my company. I come bearing all these gifts of God to help you in your walk with God, to keep you from the flames of hell. I sit here at the mouth of the gate to hell to tell you I don't have the keys in there. I have the keys to the kingdom, how to get you in and how to keep you in and how to keep you away from the flames. So I see you getting close. I then spank you and send you back and say, "Don't go near there. You stay free in whom Christ have made free." So if you have this testimony, give it to me and I'll preach it everywhere I go, that God brought you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He changed you from the power of Satan, took Satan power off of you and put you in the power of God, put you in the light of his word. This is what the gospel did for everyone that heard it, that is written in the book. The man of God then carried his testimony when the Lord knocked him down on his way on the road to Damascus. He gave this testimony over and over and over again to let them know, "I am no longer coming to hurt you. I'm coming to free you. I'm no longer here to kill you. I'm here to make you alive." And this is what the apostle did that came to the Gentile family. And I thank God for him that he let the Lord then give him by revelation this gospel of Jesus Christ that can be given to the people now. And he also gave me that same power that changed Paul from what he was doing against God to change him to work for God. And what I was doing at a time that was working for my own self, to make my own self something, I let it all go to do something for God, to carry whatever he gives me. And though it might be heavy, he made me able to bear. And I can bear one more, and that can be you. And I can bear many more, that can be all of y'all. So I thank God for the opportunity to tell you of the gospel that is with us. So when you read, you understand my knowledge that when Paul speak of his testimony, he speak then of his record that God has given him to him to turn his brothers from darkness to light and turn the Gentiles from the power of Satan to God, to turn them away from idols and stop them from eating strangled meat or blood, and turning them from fornication and adultery and every evil work. He began to turn them to the power of God. So when you look at Ezekiel with me, because I want to make sure you understand, I'm prophesying to you. If you want to live again, I can prophesy to you and make you live again. If you want houses and land, then you go to a soothsayer, or you go to Madam Ruby or Madam CC or whoever it is, Madam, whoever it is that's out there. You can go and ask them about your houses and land and your loved ones, and are you going to get a job, this and that. Go ask somebody else that. But if you want to live again, come and ask me and I'll tell you what you ought to do. See, Cornelius wanted to live again. And that's when the Holy Ghost came and the angel came and said, send for Peter. Now, it appears that God Almighty will just give it to him from heaven. He said, no, send for Peter. He left us in the land. He called us out of the world into his gospel. So when you want to know what to do, he'll tell you to send for me. That's why I do this broadcast. And that's why this gospel is going around the world. So you can send for me. I'm getting letters and emails now from many countries. And the man is asked to say, will you come to Liberia and bring your gospel? And, you know, your flesh say, oh, my God, the Ebola, this. Who's afraid of Ebola when you got God? I thank God that they are asking for the gospel to come. So the Lord knows that I must go to them that are asking for the truth of the gospel, not fearing men and not fearing anything, but to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ. So when you look at what I do, I suffer the things of this flesh so that I can bring you the Spirit of God. So when the hand of the Lord is coming upon us and he carry us in his word, as he did Ezekiel, he set him down in the midst of a valley, the scripture said, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass them around about, looking at them. This is the 37th chapter of Ezekiel. And behold, there were very many in that open valley, and lo, they were all very dry. And he said unto me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sickness upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and I prophesied. There, as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, and signia, and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, and there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came unto them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. He said unto me, O son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off our parts. therefore, prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I am the Lord, have spoken it and perform it, saith the Lord. And this is the job of the preacher, is to prophesy to your bones, so you shall live again. Though they are wet now, when they become dry, I would have done my job to turn you from darkness to the power of God. So in preparation for landing, let's turn the light on in your life and let you and I look at it. And you can pass all of the issues to me and let me deal with them and tell you what you ought to do to save yourself. So all those things you don't believe what the scripture says, pass those things to me and let me give you what the words say. And then you say, oh, thou man of God, I will believe on God as the scripture said. So in preparation for landing, bring your seat back up, put your tray up, put your safety belt on, and let's look at our lives and make sure the trash has been collected. So even if the light now go off, we can land even in the dark because we have the light of God's word to show us the way. This is the job of the preacher, to make sure you land in glory safe, to make sure you get to heaven safe. This is the job of the preacher, to make sure that you have the truth of God's word to what to believe. And I tell you, I take the job serious. And I hope and pray that when you consider that the man of God then carry all of the testimonies of all of the work that he's done, he carried those testimonies with him. And I want to carry you with me, because when you see the man of God in the book take off his crown and lay it at Christ's feet, and all the things that he's done, he give it all to the Lamb that's sitting on the throne, I want to have you with me. So my work is presented to him. He said, well done, my good and faithful servant. I'm looking to hear that. And I want you with me when the scripture says, come thou with us, for we will do you good. For the Lord has spoken good concerning us. Come to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ of the apostolic faith. Come wherever we are. If it's by any means you can get to us, come. And be baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, as they've done throughout the work in the scriptures. And we'll tell you that you need now the Spirit of God. You need the power of God. You need the Holy Ghost, which is that quickening power to make your soul resurrect, though your bones are wet now. But when they get dry, you'll live again. So this is Bishop Patterson coming to you from the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ of the Apostolic Faith. As I take these last 30 seconds to tell you what you ought to do, let me minister to you in 30 seconds. You must be baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. You must receive the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God will give you utterance. And then you must continue steadfastly in the doctrine of the apostles until Jesus come, and your bones are wet now. When they're dry, you shall live again. Come thou with us. Peace be unto all of you.